2017. Special thanks to WCHE 1520 AM family. Hey, and Fred, our production manager, he's got me going. We got it going on. This is CCMC, Concerned Citizens Monitor Caucus. Don't get it twisted. Sponsored talk show. We're addressing the issues, needs, and concerns of the Melonics. We are the informative and interactive roundtable, and we spur engagement of everyday people in the fairs and events impacting their daily lives. I'm your lead host, Everett T.J. Butcher. And, you know, always on my side and with me is my Melonic inspiration and the Melonic inspiration of all, none other than Dr. Ayo. The guru, the one, the only.
Oh, tap peace and blessings, everybody.
Yes, our conscientious chef, Adrian, the Unity Culinator, she's on her way. We'll be in here. Our Westchester Plus connection will be coming through. And you know something, today we're talking about Back to the Future. And we're going to go retrospect to the purpose, the statement, and the position of this generation as far as the Milano community. And that's what we're putting up here. So you're gonna hear some things that we've been talking through the days, through the years, and why it's so important. And so we're going to, you know, play some clips on down the line, and we'll come up here. I hope we have callers coming in. And we've got 610-701-WCHE-9243. That will be the line that you're going to be able to call in. But you know what? We're going to go ahead and go straight off into these clips, because there's a whole series of them that we want you to hear going on. And as we do this, we'll be coming back, and we're going to roundtable. Remember, 610-701-WCHE-9243. That is the number that you can call in, and we'll be going for break. Remember, Back to the Future. Retrospect to the purpose, the statement, and position of this generation in the Melonic community. Okay, so, hey, let's start off, okay? Here we go.
Speak the truth.
Speak the truth.
Yes, sir, I do like to talk.
Is that a virtue or a vice?
Well, I have to admit, I've always wanted to be the quiet, mysterious type. Only I couldn't keep my mouth shut long enough.
Would you punch yourself in a street fight, Mr. Burgess?
No, sir.
Then don't punch yourself in a word fight. You don't have to make fun of yourself. Use your humor against your opponent. Mr. Farmer.
Yes, sir.
Happy Mr. Farmer. Tell us one thing we don't know about your father.
He was the first Negro PhD.
One thing we don't know about your father, Mr. Farmer.
He walked from Florida to Massachusetts to go to college at Boston University. He graduated magna cum laude.
Mr. Lowe. Tell us about your father. Why don't you tell us something about your father?
We're trying to get to know each other, Mr. Lowe.
I was trying to get to know you, Mr. Tolson.
Well, I'm not the one on the debate team.
Are we not engaged in a debate right now?
All right. I'll take the affirmative. Take the meanest, most restless, strip him of his clothes in front of the remaining male, female infants. Tar and feather him. Tie each leg to a horse facing an opposite direction, set him on fire, and beat both horses until they tear him apart in front of the male, female infants. Bullwhip and beat the remaining males within an inch of their life. Do not kill them, but put the fear of God in them, for they can be useful for future breeding. Anybody know who Willie Lynch was? Anybody? Raise your hand. No one? He was a vicious slave owner in the West Indies. The slave masters in the colony of Virginia were having trouble controlling their slaves, so they sent for Mr. Lynch to teach them his methods. The word lynching came from his last name. His methods were very simple, but they were diabolical. Keep the slave physically strong, but psychologically weak and dependent on the slave master. Keep the body, take the mind. I and every other professor on this campus
are here to help you to find, take back, and keep your righteous mind. Because obviously you have lost it.
We talk about race a lot. We do. You know, so I think it's like wrong to say, you know, well, we don't have conversation. No, we actually talk about it quite a bit. I don't think we talk about it in depth as much as you know, we should. And I think part of the problem is when you start talking about it in depth, you know, when you start getting to a level where you say, listen, everything we are, everything we have isn't, you know, is built on past sin. That the things are tied. The things that when you start recognizing that there's something congenital, you know, it's as if, you know, I had a problem with alcohol. And I could say, okay, but I'm just going to go into the bar and I'm not going to have a drink. You know, I'm going to be okay. I don't need to, you know, have any sort of conversation. That's a different conversation than that I have to confess to the fact that I'm an alcoholic. There's something in me, you know, that's here. And I will always have to cope with that. And I will always have to deal with that. The honesty that takes, the strength that takes, the courage that takes is pretty, pretty profound. And to have to do that on a national level is, you know, it's not just a weight for Americans. I would say it would be a weight for any society, you know, comprised of human beings. It's very, very hard, you know, in mass for groups. And I, you know, to be honest with you, I have doubts about our ability to do it.
Our ability as white folks to say we were what this nation was founded on white supremacy.
No.
It is an organizing principle of our society.
No, I have doubts about us as Americans to do it. I mean, if you think about it, for African-Americans, it's a very depressing picture, too, because if you're African-American, it's like, okay, and then what? So what am I supposed to do with that information? You know, where do I go with that? I'm a minority. It's not like, you know, we're clearly not going to have an armed revolution to seize any power. So what then? You're telling me this, but what am I then supposed to do? It's terrifying. It's terrifying all around. And it's not even terrifying because we're Americans. I think if I spent any amount of time in any country, all countries, you know, have sins in their past. And getting states to confront those sins honestly and directly is really, really hard.
This whole notion of racism and white supremacy is a cancer on the state of America.
There, Mr.
Cancers. Cancers kill people. And if we don't find a way to treat this cancer, it's festering, it's growing, people are throwing, you know, they're acting like it does not exist, but you just talked about the various things that we see in the news with where people are getting, you know, beaten over and over and over again. And I'm you know, I'm in the community, and I know there's this underlying ugliness that we have to deal with and repair. So when we talk about the notion of reparations, we're not just talking about somebody writing a check. We're talking about repairing all of the issues that came with chattel slavery.
A bunch of recent surveys have shown that around 75% of white Americans do not think that there is racial bias in the criminal justice system, and a slight majority of white Americans don't think that racism is a significant problem in America. But so far as I can tell, Hank, whether systemic bias against African Americans exists in the United States is not really a debatable point. So I want to look today at some data. Okay, let's begin with the criminal justice system. So last year, the U.S. Sentencing Commission released a report showing that African-American men's prison sentences were on average 20% longer than white men's prison sentences when they were convicted of similar crimes. And in fact, in the past decade, the racial gap in sentencing has been widening. Also, black people and white people use illegal drugs at almost identical rates, but black people are 3 times more likely to be arrested for drug possession. Also, African-Americans are far more likely to be stopped and searched by police, at least in the jurisdictions that keep good records, even though in many cases, the contraband hit rate, the chance that an officer will find something actually illegal, is higher among white people. By the way, there's links about all this stuff in the doobly-doo. But there's just so much, Hank. I mean, people convicted of crimes and then later exonerated by DNA evidence are disproportionately black. Black kids are more likely to be tried as adults than white kids and more likely to be sentenced to life in prison. And even after release, black former inmates are less likely to get callbacks from potential employers than white former inmates, regardless of the crime committed. Speaking of which, let's turn to the job market. So one of the things that makes it so hard to isolate race when trying to study it is that so many other factors are at work in systemic injustice, right? Like there's class and health and wealth, none of which are fully separable from race. But okay, so a large 2004 University of Chicago study submitted thousands of resumes to a huge variety of employers, and all the resumes were completely identical except for the applicant's name. It could be Emily or Brendan or Lakeisha or Jamal. And Lakeisha and Jamal got 50% fewer callbacks than Emily and Brendan, despite having literally identical resumes. Hank, I'm pretty sure that's about race. In fact, studies consistently show racial bias in employment and hiring in the U.S. and also around the world, but I only have 4 minutes, so links in the doobly-doo. In education, again, the evidence of systemic bias is pretty overwhelming. For instance, among American high schools with mostly black and Latino students, only 74% offer Algebra 2 as a class, just 66% offer chemistry. The percentages for mostly white schools are much higher. When it comes to healthcare, you could write a book about racial bias, and in fact, people have, but I'll just quote from an American College of Physicians report from 2010. Overwhelming evidence shows that racial and ethnic minorities are prone to poorer quality healthcare than white Americans, even when factors such as insurance status are controlled. And as the report points out, by some measures, including life expectancy, which is really the ultimate measure, the disparity has been increasing for decades. Now, I want to be clear that most of this research establishes correlations, which isn't the same thing as causation. Like, certainly the tremendous economic inequality right now in the United States is a factor in racial disparities. But then, of course, race also factors into class and economic status. Like, for instance, much of the racial wealth disparity in the U.S. is due to inheritance. White people are far more likely to inherit money and land than black people are. And that's due in large part to the fact that for almost all of American history, it was basically impossible for African Americans to accrue wealth. Now, Hank, I'm obviously just scratching the surface here, but to deny the existence of systemic racism is to deny a huge body of evidence indicating that racial bias affects almost every facet of American life. Hank, the last thing I want to say is that while I think statistics and data are really important, I also think it's important to listen to the voices of people who have been affected by racism. Data is cold in a way that humans are not, and to really understand these statistics and their impact on the real lives of real people, we need to find ways to listen to those people.
Can we think any lower than this?
Well, racism's an ugly thing, isn't it? We've done some remarkable things in achieving racial equality, but it clearly, we've got a long way to go because it's still festering. All you white people out there, here's a message from Jesse Ventura. The black people are always going to be here. They're part of America. Might be a good idea to start getting along with them. And it's about time we realize that racism is still very much alive and well. As much as we like to believe it's not, this is a clear example that it is.
Hey, there you are. Listen, 610-701-WCHE-9243. Hope you're taking some notes, got some thoughts in there. You can call in. That was just part of it, because when we come back with the roundtable, we have the other portions of the clips that are going to go on, and we're going to be getting in with it. And this is WCHE 1520. Don't get it twisted. Come on back, and guess what? It's going to be good.
At WSFS Bank, we stand for what's possible. Like small businesses with big plans and big families that need a little more space. Whatever you need, you'll find us right around the corner and always in yours. Stop by any location today or visit us online at WSFSBank.com. We're WSFS Bank, and we stand for what matters. We stand for service. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Introducing a new cooking podcast, Now That's a Mouthful. This weekly program explores the shared experience of cooking and the challenges of preparing new and different recipes. Discover something new, whether you're a raw beginner or a seasoned pro in the kitchen. New episodes of Now That's a Mouthful are available every Wednesday. Start listening today at nowthatsamouthful.org or on your favorite podcast app.
Yikey Wawa! Running out of hot water is one way your water heater cries out for help. Call MoreVent. Get a water heater rejuvenation. Your water heater gets added life, you get more hot water and more value, more trust, MoreVent.
A cold shower. Nobody likes them, especially on Sunday. I called MoreVent. Alex got us a new water heater same day. Just like that, hot water again. That's why we've been with MoreVent for years. More value, more trust, MoreVent.
He's like a dog chasing a rabbit. When Sean from MoreVent comes to service our air conditioning, he keeps after it until everything is working correctly. That's why MoreVent is the only company we trust to keep us cool. More value, more trust, MoreVent.
Why get a new AC? Call MoreVent. We specialize in getting new life out of old systems. And if yours has cooled its last, we'll help you save on select replacement systems. Getting maximum life from your AC. That's more value, more trust, MoreVent.
The names you want to hear from?
Chester County District Attorney Tom Hogan joins us.
The stories you care about.
The investigation focused on former Superintendent Richard Como.
This is the talk of Chester County, 1520 WCHE.
We need to find ways to embrace these challenges, these problems, the suffering. Because ultimately, our humanity depends on everyone's humanity. I've learned very simple things doing the work that I do. It's just taught me very simple things. I've come to understand and to believe that each of us is more than the worst thing we've ever done. I believe that for every person on the planet. I think if somebody tells a lie, they're not just a liar. I think if somebody takes something that doesn't belong to them, they're not just a thief. I think even if you kill someone, you're not just a killer. And because of that, there's this basic human dignity that must be respected by law. I also believe that in many parts of this country, and certainly in many parts of this globe, that the opposite of poverty is not wealth. I don't believe that. I actually think in too many places, the opposite of poverty is justice.
And we're back. That was Brian Stevenson. And you know what? The roundtable here, I see everybody, they're taking the notes.
Yeah.
They're getting ready here. Also on the line, I know Westchester, our own top native, John Kane. He's with us, John?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay.
Hi. Hey,
guess
good
what?
To have you back.
So we're here, and as you can see, our topic today is Back to the Future. And we're going to be doing a retrospect to our purpose, our statement, and position in this generation as a modern community. And with this coming together, I know the crew's all here. And I'm going to play the second portion of what we have together, because after all that is accumulated going, it's going to be wide open to the whole crew. Remember, 610-701-WCHE-9243. That's the number you can call in. While these are playing, you can call in, and even though we'll be playing the clips, we'll talk to you on the line and get your thoughts that you're coming in there, and I'll be able to put some of those even down to the crew as we're coming off. So we're going to go to the little second portion of this, and then we were going to get to the roundtable and really get down to this. So here we go. And this is going to be starting off with classification, none other than Dr. DeGroy. And this was with post-traumatic slave syndrome and those dynamics. And this all ties in together, so here we go.
How many of you knew that the United States recently apologized for slavery? Did you know that? Interesting, that's a pretty major event, but you didn't hear much about it. Where was, you know, the big, you know, CNN, commemoration, day of, you know, nothing. And then I wondered, they apologized twice, 2008 and 2009, House of Representatives, right, and the State and the Senate, both apologized too. But look at what it says, all you whining and complaining black people. It acknowledged the injustice, cruelty, brutality, and inhumanity of slavery and Jim Crow. The resolution states that the vestiges of Jim Crow continue to this day. African Americans continue to suffer from the consequences of slavery and Jim Crow long after both systems were formally abolished through enormous damage and loss, both tangible and intangible, including the loss of human dignity and liberty, the frustration of careers and professional lives, and the long-term loss of income and opportunity. They knew and have always known. But whenever anyone black mentions it, oh, come on, you know, you're free now. The playing field's been leveled for you people. And so even black people shudder when you say the word slave, because they don't want to be appearing like, you know, well, the whiners. We also know that it's a crime based on the International Tribunal. It's a crime against humanity, punishable by death. Interesting. Slavery is listed. But somehow America escaped that. Carl von Linnaeus developed a taxonomic system based on a criterion of skin color and laid the basis for 19th century racial classification. He's basically known for classifying stuff. Phylum, genus, species. He just classified everything. He also classified human beings. Note the date, 1707 to 1778. Now, what is going on in America at that time is American chattel slavery. Now, let's just get up close and personal with that, because there's some people, these are the other folks that are going, well, you know, slavery's not a new institution. Slavery's always existed, and all societies have had some form of slavery. But there is nothing like American chattel slavery. Because, you see, in the past, most people who became slaves became so as a result of war. Two societies went to war. winners, the slaves, and losers. Sometimes you would have, in a case like Rome, you'd have a more dominant, you know, country or place, or, you know, make war and take manpower. But Europeans systematically turned the capturing, shipping, and selling of other human beings into a business. A business that would develop into the backbone of an entire economy. That's different. It differed in the manner in which a person became enslaved. It differed in the length of servitude. It differed in the treatment of enslaved people. And it differed, listen carefully, most of all, the way that they were viewed, which were subhuman, which means you will never rise to the level of human, which means that you will forever be a slave. How many of you knew that the United States recently apologized for slavery? Did you know that? Interesting. That's a pretty major event, but you didn't hear much of it.
What kind of generation will we be to have ancestors that have gone through what our ancestors have gone through? And we're sitting here today talking about the revitalization of a movement that should never have had to be revitalized.
I think like part of the problem is when we talk about this, this is a situation of, well, what do white people owe to black people? And that ain't really it. It's what the state, you know, the United States, as we should say, of America, you know, first of all, owes African Americans, but, you know, not far behind that, what it owes itself, you know, because this is really about our health as a country. And I make that delineation because there are people who, you know, and they would say this, you know, who never held any slaves, you know, who were never voluntarily part of any sort of Jim Crow system, you know, who thought, you know, the country should be doing something different the whole time. Nevertheless, we're all part of this.
I'm losing my religion. Thank God. I prayed about my decision. How odd. For the man with the mic to be the man all his life. Rock Christ like Stipes did with REM. Rev up the RPMs. How do I begin to try to paint this sin of rules that divides God's people in two? In the beginning, religion created a mask. The Reformation helped, but soon the patch didn't last. I don't tell, you don't ask. So we created a lie. And for generations, church was where we went to go hide. Oh, we no longer tried. Because rules without relationship is empty inside. Leaves you bitter, dry, swift to cut like a razor. Swift to call you a traitor. Cause you swift to love Taylor. Now we got bad blood with our neighbor. Who's wrong? Who's right? Every Sunday we're divided. Who's black? Who's white? Come on. Now the man in the mirror never gets race right. He'll never be Christ-like. Never receive good pay, so your faith never rises above minimum wage. So when it's time to save the world, you don't know what to say to your brother that you love when he tells you he's gay. Do you push him away? Judge him down till he leaves? Give him a gospel he hears or a gospel he sees. Love wrapped in truth is the gospel he needs. There's room at the cross for everyone, even me. Well, my sins are now clean. The lost are redeemed. Religion is a prison, but truth sets us free. Helps us believe that the world we're in now is not the world that will be. Terror, famine, disease, millions in poverty, hungry, can't sleep. With all of this religion, why these babies can't eat? And if the middle class is gone, how can America see? How can America breathe when the oxygen is gone from the American dream? And these American streets listen close as they speak. The next time you think America, please include me. Help the ones that are weak. All they want is a piece of the pie that you keep. Is that too much to ask for those that laid the concrete? Still laying on concrete, pop, pop by police. See, they the foundation of the nation. Not the 2%. Not the ones that own the building that the middle class rent, because they make sense. Tell me, how do you feel? I'm the new Franklin and I have the new deal. I fight and do right, FDR for real. One nation under God, God show us the way. The science of opinion, God is not a buffet. You pick what you want, so no God on your plate. The preacher isn't God. Religion's first mistake. Servants, stewards, shepherds, not kings. Has to die to his flesh every day like me. One VIP. All the other seats in church are free. We're just groupies. God's the celebrity. Before 313 AD. Before Constantine. Before the Council of Nicaea. Before Romans and Greeks. Before Calvin, Alexander, Luther. Before let there be. Before history. To the last century. Before the death on the tree. Before the fall of man. Was a picture of me nailed to his heart right before the last three words he would speak. It is finished. Can you believe? I'm losing my religion. Thank God. Helping you lose yours is my job.
May the fire.
And there we go. And we got John on there, and we're getting ready to go on break. But you know what? I want John to come on, and he's going to lead us into the break. We got about a minute and a half. So, John, lead us into the break as we're coming in, because I know you're going to bring it to the round table and all. So here we go. Let's talk.
Man, that was a powerful, powerful poem. I got to give props to that. But, you know, I'm also reminded, as I'm listening to all these clips, the video of that doll test. So when you talk about racism, are you familiar with the doll test?
Yes.
I mean,
but explain, give it a quick explanation for our listeners.
Yeah, I will. When I look at how pervasive racism is and how it becomes so overwhelming and so overpowering in the environment that we all live in, when I see a black child sat down in front of a white doll and a black doll, and that little black child asks, point to the good doll, point to the pretty doll, and she points to the white one, and when she says point to the ugly doll, or point to the bad doll, she points to the black doll, and then when she's asked, which doll looks most like you, and she points to that black doll. I mean, that's
my heart
criminal.
When I saw
it. I mean, that is heartbreaking. I mean, I teared up watching that video the first time I ever saw it.
Me too.
And that just gives you an idea. And when you talk about racism, it's not just racism that is bound into the white culture. It actually, so when a black cop has to make a judgment call about his threat or the fear that he has, and he looks at a black man and is more fearful of a black man than a white man, it isn't just about white cops shooting black victims. That's how pervasive it goes, because there's no question that a black cop, because of his indoctrination, is going to view a black man more threatening than a white man, because that's the way the culture is.
And see, you're hitting it there, and I'm sorry, but here we go. We're on the break. We're going to come in. But we're going to bring it back, because we're going to follow up on that in the crew. Listen, 610-701-WCHE-1943. So you see that the substance is going to get real. We're talking about Back to the Future, retrospect to the purpose, statement, and position of this generation in the Milana community. We'll be right back. Don't get it twisted.
Curious about the world around you? From politics and gardening to unlocking the secrets of longevity, Experience Mind Matters, a free series created especially for baby boomers and beyond. Mind Matters is a series for older adults to watch, learn about new things, and then engage with their peers. Contact your local senior center for more information. To locate your nearest center, visit aging.pa.gov. Again, that's aging.pa.gov.
If you missed your favorite show, be sure to check out our brand new podcast page on WCHE1520.com. Also, be sure to subscribe on your iPhone or iPad. Just go to the podcast store and search WCHE1520 AM.
I know many of you are disappointed that the legal talk show hosted by Steve Karp has ended, but Steve Karp is still practicing personal injury law and is available for consultation. So if you've experienced an injury or suffered medical malpractice, then call Steve now and let him represent you in court. Steve has not only decades of law experience, but has taught law in Philadelphia's prestigious law schools. Here's the really good news. You don't pay anything if he loses your case, so you know he'll give it all all he's got to win for you. Steve Karp practices only one kind of law, personal injury law, and he's an expert in all areas of that litigation. So don't put it off another minute. Call Steve Karp now in his Westchester office, 610-430-2200. That's 610-430-2200.
This is the Talk of Chester County, 1520 WCHE.
Okay, here we go. We're back. Don't get it twisted. I know that was a whole... No, it wasn't a whole lot because we've been talking about it, so it should be resonating in our minds today. Back to the future. Retrospect to purpose, statement, and position this generation in the Milana community. And we have the round table. We have Dr. Isle, the guru of Milana. We have Chef Adrian. We have Westchester the Westchester. And John, you were coming off that right off the end. You were talking about the dial, and also I'm thinking of Jane Elliott, Brown Eyes, Blue Eyes, when she was talking about in those experiments. We think of Tim Wise, and those many others that are working in those areas. And we're talking about First Nations. We're talking about the doctrine of discovery, which we know what is beyond that. And I know, John, you'll pick up on that again. So I'm going to turn this over to John, yourself, and to Dr. Io and Chef. So, hey, crew, I know you've been taking notes. So, John, you want to follow up from where you left off, and then we'll get right over here to Dr. Io and Chef Adrian. Go ahead now.
Well, and I think the idea that racism becomes so systemic that it doesn't even affect those white privileged people. It affects all of us. I mean, when I look at that doll test, where first there's a chart, I've seen it done with charts and with dolls, where white kids are asked, where's the pretty doll? And they point to the white one. And where's the ugly doll? They point to the black. But when they ask black children as well, they get the same response. You know, and it isn't just girls either, because they do the same thing with white boys and black boys. And how does that not stay with that?
And they're
that,
real,
again,
and they're
that
really young kids.
Racism stay right with. So when we talk about police abuse, because you know when we see a black police officer really being harsh to a black suspect or involved in the killing of an unarmed black man. That is all part of the same system. It's still racism, even if it's a black cop. It's that racism that has been indoctrinated into the dominant culture, and that we all end up getting affected by. As a Native person, I gotta ask myself if you lay a Native a brown skin doll in front of a even if it's not a black doll, a brown skin doll in front of a Native kid, I'll bet we get the same answers.
Mm-hmm. Because it's still the propaganda that's affecting us. Go ahead, Dr.
And we can see that in our choices. We're more likely to choose a Caucasian mate for loving, living, and interacting with, so friends and what have you. We're more likely to dye our hair blonde and wear blue contact lenses. We're more likely to straighten our hair or purchase the hair from someone else that's straight.
Or go to white-owned businesses or have a white doctor or dentist.
Yes.
Address.
We become assimilated. Yeah. We assimilate into the existing pattern of white supremacy. And unless you know you're doing that.
But it isn't. Do you think part of that is just to, like, avoid pain?
Well, it's like anything else. You want to belong. You want to be part of the acceptable group, the in-group, you know, the popular kids in school. Well, when you become an adult, you still want to be part of the popular group. And the popular group is Caucasians. That's just it. It doesn't matter. That is who is identified through all the propaganda as the role model, the barometer for success.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to change that, what we have to start doing is telling the truth, as Kurt Franklin was talking about. We have to tell the truth, teach about all the accomplishments of the various ethnic groups equal time. for each ethnic group so that everybody respects each other instead of feeling that Melanic people are at the bottom, they never did anything, and Melanic children
therefore want to be. In elementary school, not in college.
At home. But
yeah,
the people at home don't know to teach it because they haven't been taught in school. So it has to start both at school and in the homes. And it has to be done right away because the clients I see in my private practice are many of those people who Dr. Clark ended up researching. Those children who are impacted on a daily basis, who feel themselves to be ugly, unlovable, and so they're severely depressed, not because there's anything wrong with them, but because they live in a world that says because they're black, because they're dark, because they don't have straight hair, because they don't have thin lips and a pointed nose, that they are inferior, ugly, and unlovable.
And you know something, and you all are bringing up some valid points, and this is going to go, like I say, we never have enough time in an hour, but you know what, I want to bring this to the table to you as well, and some of your thoughts, everybody's thoughts, and especially, and John, even not just, not, and even with First Nations, and from that aspect too, where the dynamics of what we actually are has been changed. It's almost like they try to erase the memory of your own lineage. That's why in the beginning there was the, when they were talking about the lynching, that was the great debaters. When the professor was talking to that student there, and he said, you know, that now I got to train you because obviously you've lost your mind. You forgot what you were dealing with and who you were. The very one that's trying to help you, you're trying to hurt. So you had to bring that remembrance, and then here comes classifications. That's what Dr. Joy DeGruy, post-traumatic slave syndrome. And we see the fight within ourselves. And you see that the system, you know something, they don't have to subjugate us to that. It's like, okay, well, we got past slavery. No, we didn't. But it was abolished, so you know what we do next? We just use
except
Jim
in
Crow.
The prisons.
Yeah. We'll implement Jim Crow. And when Jim Crow, it doesn't work, we'll use mass incarceration. When mass incarceration, it's just the next step, the next step, the next step, next step up. And until we understand and see, and it's not even a game. You know, this is Juneteenth, and we're celebrating Juneteenth.
On 19th.
But also
yeah.
This week, we're also celebrating, come to the awareness, is the anniversary of the loving decision.
I was glad you brought that up because I was going to bring it up because there's another episode that I think gets missed.
Would you share what it is and go ahead with your comment, please?
John. Yeah.
Well, Loving is obviously it's the 50th anniversary. It was on Monday of Loving versus Virginia. It is where the Supreme Court unanimously decided to reject and to vacate a conviction against this white male, black female who got married in Washington, D.C., but lived in the state of Virginia. They were charged with a felony. They were actually sentenced to a year in jail for being married and for being together. The police busted into their house in the middle of the night so they could catch them in bed together. And when they produced their marriage licenses, that's not valid here. So they were arrested, sentenced to a year in prison. They fought this thing. It went all the way up to the Supreme Court in June 12th of 1967. The Supreme Court unanimously decided to, again, and this was probably as big an advance in civil rights as any, to basically say that interracial, and let me back off of that, not interracial, because I want to be specific here. This was black men, or black and white could not marry. Now, I will also say that this might not have had the same outcome if it was a black man and a white woman than it was with a white man and a black woman. I throw that out there. But here's the thing that I find really interesting about this thing. At the same time that black and white could not marry, native and white was not just allowed, it was encouraged, but for a completely different reason. And this gets back to that Killers of the Flower Moon book by David Grand.
Yes.
It was actually encouraged that white people would marry native people so because they could take our land.
Take the land.
They could take control of our, diminish our sovereignty, our land, our money. It, specifically in the Osage case in 1920s was when they were, white men would marry into a native family, kill the siblings of their spouse, gather all of the head rights to oil, and then ultimately kill or control that spouse so they could enrich in themselves. So and this was a practice that was encouraged back from Jefferson's time all the way through, that the best way to make native people disappear was to intermarry and have them and basically water them down because they would no longer exist as a distinct people. It's like racism, but and this is where racism has different I don't want to say different levels because I don't know what's worse. But the racism is different and distinct sometimes depending on who you are, even within the Milana community.
It's different strategies to meet their goals. They're creatively diabolical.
And absolutely.
Also, I'm right. If you go to the We Party Initiative, that's one of the pages that we do with CCMC, you'll see that I've posted up a film about that, a clipping, a video with the loving decision. And one of the other thing about that loving versus Virginia decision, you notice this, that Melanics were able to vote before they were even allowed legally to intermarry, supposedly. And in fact, it was described by some of the legislators equivalent to bestiology. This is the mindset. So,
in fact, this is in our lifetime.
This is in our lifetime.
Absolutely.
So when we say back to the future, you know, when I say back to the future, you have to go back to understand what's going on because this is what our future is, our past. And if we don't know our past, our future is going to repeat itself for which it is, which it's not that it's repeating. It's still existing. And this is what I want to say. This is where our purpose, our statement. And this is our position, this generation, and this generation needs to wake up, and they are waking up and finding out, as we were talking about even last week, as you see some of the things are moving on. Also, there was something in this, and John, you brought that up, even with the law enforcement, it just seems funny. In Ferguson, I don't know if everybody was aware of that, yet another activist found dead.
Really?
The 34-year-old pastor, who was one of the leading activists there in Ferguson, was found dead of a heart attack.
At 34?
Quote, unquote.
In other words, you know, when we talk about being diabolical, we have to understand that people can die of cancer and other things that were given to them. And for us not to be aware of that and think it's just something you see on television is to be naive. People can be killed in a lot of different ways so that it looks like a natural cause. And the reality is you have to look at the patterns. You have to look at what's going on. Plane crash here, a heart attack there, cancer over here. We have to understand that we are under siege.
And Doctor, you know what really struck me at that? When he said the age of that young gentleman, we brought this up a couple shows ago. Remember Bob Marley?
Absolutely.
What was the age of his death?
Yep.
39 or something, remember?
He was in his 30s.
Yep.
In his 30s also. And see, these are the things. But then it comes to our conscious choice. Where and in this dance, what do we do in retrospect? As Tanisi was talking about, the problems and how we move forward.
And in the clip, the cancer of racism about healthcare and healthcare outcomes and healthcare just how you're treated. If you don't have insurance, you can't go and get preventative care.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't get preventative care, and then when you go in and complain about something, you're dismissed.
And the quality of your care, if you're a Melanic, is different than the quality of care among Caucasians.
So that also goes to this
something else. And John, please chime in.
Environmental racism. There you go again. Now you talk about the idea that people of color can have their environment impacting negatively. I mean,
and
when you talk about cancer isn't just given. You can create the conditions by contaminating water supplies and land and air and open pit uranium mining and that kind of stuff.
You absolutely make
people more susceptible to disease. People who don't matter in the American agenda.
And thinking of that, man, we're over our time on break. We're going to get on break, and you brought up three topics here that we're going to bring back, and we're going to bring it home. And John, man, John, you just bring so much out here. And everybody here in the studio, we're just taking notes left and right. 610-701-WCHE-9243. This is Don't Get It Twisted. As you can see, we're ready, willing, and wanting. You can call on in. But if not, I know you'll be sending us messages over our websites and all. But guess what? We got to go on break here. We'll come right back. And we're going to come with some of the closing thoughts. And we'll see you then. Don't get it twisted.
Hi, I'm Jerry, a driver leader at Schneider, and I'm here to help drivers during their first 3 months with Schneider. I drove for 9 years myself and was an instructor for 4 years, so I get what drivers need and want. We all try to, and that's what I love about Schneider. We put our drivers first. I've experienced it. Now I want you to experience it. Schneider is now hiring safe drivers near you. Search all driving jobs and sign-on bonuses at SchneiderJobs.com. That's SchneiderJobs.com.
If you had to choose a roofer, would you choose one with limited experience and knowledge, or would you choose a roofer certified as a master elite contractor by the largest manufacturer in the nation, GAF, a distinction shared by only 3% of the nation's roofers? I'm talking about GP Martini Roofing, who also does siding, windows, doors, and offers an ironclad guarantee that he'll repair or replace any roof for defects within its normal life. GP Martini Services, Chester, Delaware, Bucks, and Montgomery counties, with free estimates and consultation, and does both commercial and residential. Go to their website at martiniroofing.com for special savings, or call 610-873-1696. And also, financing is available with no payments for a full year. Now, what roofer would you call? GP Martini is the answer. 610-873-1696.
Introducing a new cooking podcast. Now that's a mouthful. This weekly program explores the shared experience of cooking and the challenges of preparing new and different recipes. Discover something new, whether you're a raw beginner or a seasoned pro in the kitchen. New episodes of Now That's a Mouthful are available every Wednesday. Start listening today at nowthatsamouthful.org or on your favorite podcast app.
WCHE, Chester County's local news source that not only tells you what's happening, but is committed to telling you the behind-the-scenes reason why it's happening.
Okay, we are back. You know something? An hour is never enough.
Not even close.
Never enough. And when we bring this in there, it just proves the point. We've been changing the format, so even more so. But guess what? Online also, Westchester. Oh, yeah, 610-701-WCHE-9243. Be able to call in. But we just got a call in from the other portion from our Westchester connection, Dr. Bay.
Hey, Dr. Bay.
Hey. Hey, everybody. Good afternoon.
Hey.
Unfortunately, I couldn't get in, but here I am.
Oh, wait. Right. Were you able to hear any of the
program?
The program.
It's not coming well on my smartphone. Everything is coming in garbled.
Okay. Well,
bottom line, we've been talking about racism and some of the studies that have been done. Kenneth Clark's study looking at environmental racism, talking about the fact that blacks were prevented legally from marrying each other. We've been talking about racism.
So also on our call to action, you have all these departments, federal departments, are being rearranged to roll back civil rights protections. So there's actions and phone numbers you can call, and Scott Pruitt at the EPA is one of them.
And that's going to be on our...
Yeah, we'll make sure we get that up on the website.
It's already on our page.
And our topic was Back to the Future, and this goes away. Because you know what? We're going right back to our future, and our future was in the past, and it's just happening, and it's still going. It's retrospect to our purpose, our statement, and the position of this generation, and how we got to move within the minds. Now, John, you brought up a couple of things, when they were talking about the environmental, we were talking about the environmental health issues and all. But you know, just like we said with the laws, where we couldn't even intermarry, we could vote before we were even allowed to intermarry because it's seen as classifications, as you saw with Dr. Jordan Grewer's going on. But I got to think about the environmental, and you know, something else, economically wise, they don't need the powers that be, and those that have money, you know, and that's what it is in that sense and all. They don't care about the fracking and stuff like that, and polluting the waters, because guess what they can do? They have the money to go buy the Avions and all those different waters, and so all those
or even filtered water.
Those associated economically.
They also don't live in the environment. See, what happens is, you know, when you get to areas of affluence, they thicken the wall of those pipelines. So they avoid the areas of affluence. They run them through areas of poverty, not just people of color, but people who don't have the political clout to avoid these things from happening.
Low income. Yeah, the Dakota Pipeline is an example. It was supposed to run through, I just went blank on the city, but no, the people yelled and screamed, so it got put down through the...
And you know,
Native
some,
American territory.
Yeah, and I just thought of something. You just brought that. You brought up there. So back to our future. Guess what? And when you think of retrospect, so what they're saying, they want to hold on to the power and the possessions they have. So in other words, in two ways, they don't want to share the wealth, but they don't want to share the pain either.
Yeah,
so
and
we
also,
have to stand up on both ends.
And also, instead of back to the future, it's the future is our past because we're not recognizing our past.
Right. And
that, well, and the other thing I want to talk about environmental racism is looking at it globally. Because that's the other thing where U.S. corporations, multinational corporations, they obviously look for places that they can dump, that they can do, have less environmental regulations to do any number of things, whether it involves manufacturing or mining or any of those things.
Yeah, drilling.
Producing power. So this environmental racism, we see it within, close to our own people here. But we're not even impacted as gravely as places like Asia and Africa are with this environmental racism.
Right. Well, yeah.
And you know something along lines with that, Dr. Iyer was talking this, and I'm sure everybody can chime in as we get ready to wind down here. When we think of this in these terms, in our mindset, that's where maybe we'll pick up from here. We got to talk about the mindset because, as Tanisi was talking about there, where the problem lies, and also with Brian Stevenson, we have to be retrospective to ourselves. It starts with ourselves, and just like you were saying, what Dr. I was saying, it starts with our self-acknowledgement, our self-awareness, our self-esteem, as Dr. Bay talks about with
so
consciousness.
You can make your demand.
You still have to be able to say, I am, as in I am worthy. I am worthwhile, and I deserve. Because when you start believing that racism is some nebulous thing out there, it's not some nebulous thing out there. It's just a tool for theft. And we need to stop pretending that it's something deeper than that. It's not deeper than that. It's a way to steal what doesn't belong to you and to dump your waste on places that didn't cause the waste. And that's all it's all about.
So and get rid of the people who might object to you stealing.
People realize that. There's also this thing that along with white privilege and white supremacy is white fragility, which
yes.
is that people of color are coming for their stuff. And I think we also have to be cognizant of the fact that what is it that we want? Do we want what they have or do we want what we need, what we want? And I think this sometimes gets into the other discussion because I think some of that, even that doll test again, we've been trained and indoctrinated to believe that something else is beautiful. Something else is what we want. And, so as we straighten our hair, as we, put in the blue contact lenses and all that other stuff, we think that, we want something which is even their image for ourselves. And I think the white people feel threatened by it, but we also are confused by it.
Well, yeah, and that's that theft. That's that theft of not understanding that it's just a tool. So if you start trying to tear down a house that is infested with termites and carpenter ants, and then you rebuild that house using the same wood, you're going to have the same damn house.
Right.
And that's the real essence of it that we have to get into. Not, well, what do they have over there? And the pipeline, how stupid can you believe that you really are? That pipeline bursts in that watershed, it's not going to hit you because you're north. Now, that's a height of stupidity that you ought to be ashamed of. Yet, people are just that dumb.
Yes, yeah. And we got to bring it in. And something, there's our posting. You got to go to Don't Get It Twisted. DGITwisted.com. Want to go to our CCMC caucus. We will go to the We Party Initiative. I mean, there's so much that you want to need to go to. Even FTLResearch.com. And we're going to bring this all together. I mean, our time is flown by on us here.
Yeah,
but we've laid out the agenda.
We need a conference, guys. We need to do an event.
Great.
I'm saying I'd love to participate with the rest of you guys. And
so have you just given us a mandate to have that event?
Another summit.
Well, see, there you go.
There
people.
We go.
Don't get it twisted. There we are. And we're going to be working on that. And we're working on a couple other events too, because this hour is not getting it. And we got to do more.
Yep.
Yeah, and just check out our Facebook page. The Doll Experiment's on there. I'm also going to put up Brown Eye, Blue Eyes, and a couple other things. And the call to action is there.
Don't forget about Juneteenth.
Yes.
We need to recognize the truth.
And our time has flown on us so quickly, everybody. So, you know, everybody, let's get this all information on them. Listen, check out the websites. Check out the Facebook pages, because we'll bring it up from here. Because this time just went so much. We had so much to give. There's so much more to do. And above all, listen, we all love you. Come on back for us next week and even the weeks following. And everybody, I love you too. And together, we have to say,
don't get it twisted.